foundations of amateur radio. In the early 1920s, long-distance communication using radio was a growing interest. At the time, it was thought that communication that we take for granted today, over long-distance HF, was limited to long-wave or extremely low frequencies. The lower the better. With that restriction came massive antennas and high-power transmitters, available only to commercial and government stations. Then radio amateurs let the cat out of the bag by discovering that so-called shortwave radio could be heard all across the globe. As an aside, today, shortwave seems quaint, because we've discovered that even shorter waves can be used to communicate, right down to nanometer communication as shown by NASA in its XCOM technology demonstration on the 12th of May 2019. On a daily basis, we use 120mm and 60mm waves when we use 2.4 and 5 GHz Wi-Fi, for example. As a result of the discovery of shortwave radio, a gold rush emerged. There was a hunger in the community for radio. Businesses and communities adopted the new medium. There were radio courses being taught in universities. Church services and other forms of entertainment started filling the airwaves. Comedy, talk shows, music, concerts, serials and dramas spread across the electromagnetic spectrum, and radio amateurs who had discovered the phenomenon were running the risk of being pushed aside by commercial interests willing to pay for access. As I've said before, in many countries at the time, amateur radio was actively discouraged. Sometimes it was even illegal. Before we continue, I should quote some statements made about radio before the Gold Rush, which at the time was seen as telegraphy without wires. In 1865, a Boston Post editorial proclaimed, "Well-informed people know it is impossible to transmit the voice over wires, and that were it possible to do so, the thing would be of no practical value." Lord Kelvin, president of the Royal Society, said, "Radio has no future," and went on to say, "Wireless is all very well, but I'd rather send a message by a boy on a pony." He also said, "Heavier than air machines are impossible," and "X-rays will prove to be a hoax." Not all statements aged as badly. The New York Times said in 1899, "All the nations of the earth would be put upon terms of intimacy, and men would be stunned by the tremendous volume of news and information that would ceaselessly pour in upon them." Back to the IARU. Before a business trip to Europe, the board of directors of the ARRL asked their president, Hiram Percy Maxim, to encourage international amateur relations, which on 12 March 1924 resulted in a dinner given at the Hotel Lutetia in Paris, according to Hiram, a certain dining room by the most distinguished radio men of Europe. Hiram goes on to say that, "This ARRL president has sat in a good many very impressive radio meetings in the past, ranging from Maine to California, but he has never sat in a meeting where there was quite as much thrill as at this meeting in Paris, where the amateurs of 9 different countries sat down together." The countries were France, Great Britain, Belgium, Switzerland, Italy, Spain, Luxembourg, Canada, and the United States. Hiram remarks that, quote, "Denmark was represented by a letter in which regret was expressed at the inability to have a representative present and asked that the amateurs of Denmark be counted in," end quote. You should dig up a copy of the May 1924 edition of QST to get a sense of occasion, where the ARRL president compares the thrill of the hamfest to the atmosphere during that dinner and pities those who have never experienced it. During the meeting, it was decided to form an organization, which was going to be called the International Amateur Radio Union. A temporary committee was formed that appointed Hiram Maxim as the chair and Dr. Pierre Corret as secretary to take charge of the details to create a permanent organization. The final decision was to call for a General Amateur Congress on the Easter holiday of 1925, where the IARU would be formalized. On the 14th of April 1925, 250 radio amateurs from 23 countries met in Paris, and over the next 4 days the details of the new union were hammered out. Among those details were that the organization was chiefly for, quote, the coordination and fostering of international two-way amateur communication, that it should be an organization by individual memberships until strong national societies had been formed in the principal nations and federation would be feasible, and that its headquarters would be located in the USA. End quote. The Constitution was written over a day and night session, and by the morning of the 17th of April, every delegate had a copy, and then the hard work began, approving the Constitution, section by section, by the entire Congress. On the morning of the 18th, elections were held, and Hiram Uniform 1 Alpha Whiskey was elected International President. Gerald Golf 2 November Mike, International Vice President, Jean, Foxtrot 8, Golf Oscar, and Frank, Zulu 4 Alpha Alpha, Councillors at Large, and Kenneth, Uniform 1 Bravo Hotel Whiskey, International Secretary Treasurer. With the election complete, the IARU was officially in business. The new constitution was published in English, French, and Esperanto. Why Esperanto, you ask? In the middle of 1924, the AARL adopted Esperanto as its official auxiliary language. According to Clinton B. DeSoto, Whiskey One Charlie Bravo Delta, author of a fabulous book, 200 Meters and Down, The Story of Amateur Radio, that might have been the highest official recognition that language ever received. Credit to Clinton for much of the timeline and wording I've shared here. I'll leave you with one final quote from his book. Clinton, Whiskey One Charlie Bravo Delta writes, quote, "One day amateur television is bound to come. However remote though that day may be, it is indubitably inevitable that one day amateurs will be able to see each other as well as talk with each other. And when that day comes, the development of amateur radio as a social institution will have taken another great step forward, at least according to present standards. But by then the standards will have changed, and amateurs will have something more to work toward, and the ultimate will still not have arrived. There are always new goals, new horizons. May it fall to amateur radio to march many steps towards the goal of complete knowledge, ere its footprints are lost in the sands of time." End quote. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.